Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Today, my message is called Just a Thought. Just a Thought. I want to give you just a thought today about just a thought. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, Solomon writes, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they," my words, "are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. You are walking in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Whether you realize it or not, you are moving toward the things you're thinking about the most intensely, the most often. You're heading those directions. That's why you got to guard your thoughts, because your thoughts are leading you somewhere. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this from the Passion Translation. "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing, but be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude." In other words, you're thanking him as you're praying to him for something. You're thanking him already that he's going to do it. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding, watch this, will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, "Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectable, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts." Fasten your thoughts like you'd put on a seatbelt. Fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. The word guard there, where it says his peace will guard your heart, the word literally in the Greek means to garrison or sentry, post a sentry. Anybody, any military people in the room? How many of you ever had guard duty? Wasn't that fun? What'd you do? You were set at the entrance of something to make sure something wasn't allowed in that wasn't supposed to be in. The Bible says when you're focused on what God is doing, you're actually posting a guard over your heart and your mind, and that's why peace comes that transcends understanding. Amen? Let's pray one more time. God, open the eyes of our heart today. I pray for every person in the room and every person watching online, that you would move strong and help us to know how to set our thoughts and fasten our thoughts on every glorious work of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you are being a little quiet today for a service. I don't know what happened to you. We did a combined service last week, and maybe you got a little quietness on you. But I want you to respond today. Remember what I tell you. The more you respond, the faster you get to go home. If you're the quieter you are, the more I assume you don't understand, so I keep saying the same point over again. Okay? So that's, if we're late, it's your fault, not mine. Listen, last week we opened with Jesus calling us to build our houses upon the rock of his foundation. We said the life you have is the life you build. Quit blaming everybody else, including God, for your situation. Because you're where you are now, not because God sovereignly sent you there. You are there right now because of responses and things you've done, either obedience or disobedience. You've got to learn to trust God and God's perfect timing. We said that you've got to, the call of the people of God is be transformed by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. See, God will do a lot, but he's already done most of what he will do. You understand? It was all in the, like we said earlier, it was already in the suitcase. You just haven't unpacked some of his stuff yet. But renewing your mind is unpacking the things that God has said and that God wants to do, and understanding that His word is His will. You say, well, I want to know the will of God. It's right in the book. It's right in the book. Well, I just don't believe He heals. Well, you can not believe if you want to, but from Genesis to Revelation, He healed people. Okay? And everything through the cross at Calvary, Jesus never once put sickness on somebody. In fact, you can't find any place in the Gospels where anybody approached Jesus, including lepers, that came to Him and said, if You will, You can cleanse me. He never said, not today. I don't really feel like it. No, I know what You did. He didn't do that. He healed the lepers. Now, 10 lepers, the time that Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one came back to say thank you. The rest were healed. One was made whole. That's what the Bible says. The grateful one was made whole, not just healed. So understand, you got to take the word. We are called to transformation. That's what this thing is about. It's not about just going to heaven. You prayed a prayer, you go into heaven when you die, and church is just trying to just have little stop-bys to make sure you're good. That's not what this is. That's not what this thing is. It's about transformation. Say transformation. Whether you realize it or not, you are constantly changing. You're actually becoming more like this world system or more like Jesus every single day. By every choice, by every decision, by every thought. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, right? Verse 29 says this, for whom He foreknew, His kids, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The question becomes, are you growing to become more like Jesus, or are you growing to be more like this world system? How are you changing? You're changing, but how are you changing? Here's the point. Everything begins in change. Everything begins with a single thought. Everything begins with a single thought. What are you thinking about? We would say to somebody, what are you dwelling on? What are you dwelling on? Isn't that interesting? Because the word dwell means like a house, a dwelling place. What are you building your house on? What are you dwelling on in your mind? What are you thinking? Are you thinking toxic thoughts? Are you thinking obsessive thoughts? Because obsessive thoughts become a dangerous encampment in your mind we call a stronghold. We'll talk about them today and next week. One thought of fear, one thought of doubt can open the door to major problems. My friend John Mason, years ago, was here and was telling us a little story. And he said one day, he was a basketball coach in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And one day he was walking around and he just felt a little pain in his knee. And he reached down and he said, oh my gosh, there's a bump on my knee. So he started thinking about it. He goes, well, man, that's not just a bump. That may be a lump. The more he thought about a lump, the more he thought of cancer, all these possibilities. All of a sudden, he said, within a few minutes, I'm thinking about they're going to have to amputate my leg. He said, I went from a bump to a lump to a stump. In 5 minutes of just thoughts. You know what it turned out to be? A mosquito bite. See, the problem is we do that. I've told this story when I was a kid. There was a show called Medical Center was on TV, and it was a guy named Chad Everett, and they would had all these things, and this kid would come in with a pain somewhere, and it would be this horrific disease. And I remember going to my parents. I think I got this. I think I got that because it was just on that, and they had a kid on there. It was Hollywood. It was just it was something to have. And my parents were like, "You're good. It's okay." I mean, it wasn't anything serious where they just ignore me, but it was like, if you keep feeding on stuff, eventually it's going to come out in your life somewhere. Everything begins with a single thought. understand that you start, listen, sin is different than transgression. You heard sin, iniquity, transgression? That's a progression of what sin does, okay? Sin, iniquity, transgression. Sin is not the act of failure or the act of evil. Sin is entertaining the thought. That's why Jesus said, okay, you said you shall not commit adultery. That's what Moses said. But I say unto you, you shall not look at a woman and undressing her with your eyes because you've already then committed adultery. Well, how's that? Because everybody in that deal is guilty to some degree or another. Now you got quiet, didn't you? Now you got quiet. Sin is not the thought. Temptation comes as a thought. Sin is entertaining the thought. And then you start creating the avenue to get to what you think about, even if it's subconscious. Understand, sin and iniquity and transgression, I didn't want to teach on all that, but bottom line is, it's a progression. And sin is just the entertainment of the thought. Jesus was touched and tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He never entertained the thought. We know he was tempted. It's in the Word. In the same ways we are, but did not entertain the thought. Well, how do we live this way? How do we deal with a thought in its infancy and keep it from becoming transgression? Here's the key. We all need to have a solid relationship with the Word of God. That's why the text this morning, Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon charges the next generation and he says words like this, pay attention to the Word of God. Listen to what God has said. Incline your ear. What does it mean to incline? Talk to me today, class. What is to incline? Lean. Lean. If you're inclining your ear, somebody's talking soft, and you're leaning in to listen to it. Anybody old enough to remember E.F. Hutton commercials? They say, all these people are in the crowds and saying, well, you know, my broker says this and my broker says that. And then there's maybe 100 people, 1,000 people. And they say, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and all of a sudden everybody stops and goes like this. Total silence. Because when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. That was the tagline. When God talks, you have the choice to listen or not. He's not going to force you to listen. He's not going to yell at your ear. Listen, when Elijah was mouthing off, I'm the only one left. I don't know what to do. I just thought I've had a victory and now you've abandoned me. God takes him to a mountain, has all this noise and natural disaster noise take place around him, but God wasn't in that. And then God spoke to him how? In a still, small voice. And Elijah had to wrap his head in his mantle. He had to lean in to hear the voice of God. I'm telling you, too many people are passive about hearing from God. When Pastor Chris was feeling something over here and got up and said, just amazing, amazing. Some of you didn't feel anything. And that's okay, but it's not where you should aspire to be. Because some of us were feeling this electrical presence of God. Why? Because we're leaning in. And maybe you are trying to lean in, but maybe your mind is checking out to some other thing. Listen, the Bible says in Thessalonians, I want you to be strong and I want you to be unified in your entire spirit, soul, and body. Your entire spirit, soul, and body. That means, theoretically, my spirit can be worshiping. My body can be ready to go. And my mind can be thinking about pizza. But if I can once get everything of my life inclined to hear the word of God, inclined to know what he wants, what he says, what he thinks about things. Are you leaning out or leaning in? What's your posture toward the preaching of the word and toward God's word, the Bible, during the week? Remember the admonition. Here's what he says. Keep these words in the midst of your heart. You say, Pastor, I'm not really a good reader in the mornings. Can you listen? Can you watch? Because right now, we've got more resources available for morning devotions than at any other time in world history. Hands down, it ain't even close. You almost have to be rebellious not to find something. Everything is at arm's length. Sometimes we don't appreciate it because it's so vast and so much, and we get overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. Start with YouVersion of the Bible. If you're a new believer, if nobody told you this before, download YouVersion on your phone or on your tablet, whatever you have. Download that, and then just look at the daily devotional on that they do. They have somebody speak on that. And then find a subject that you're dealing with something and look it up, and then read it as a family. Read as a family. Do something as a family. Are you hearing what I'm talking about today? Keep these things in the midst of your heart. What is your heart? Your heart is not just in your chest. Your heart, listen, the heart is the only thing that's in your spirit, soul, and body. Think about it. You have an emotional heart. Heartbreak, right? An emotional heart. You have a physical heart. And you have a spiritual heart. Your spiritual heart is the core. See, if you tell somebody, I'm going to get to the heart of the matter. You're not talking about an organ that pumps blood. You're talking about, I'm going to get to the core of this thing. I'm going to get to the bottom line. Well, the Bible says, at the bottom line, keep the word of God in your bottom line. And the promises. Solomon says, they are life to those who find them. The word find implies discovery, as to like those who are digging for buried treasure. Are you looking? Are you digging? Those who find them find life. You have an area of your life that's on life support? Get the word. Dig into that word. Ask God to help you. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives understanding. The letter kills. The letter of the Bible kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit wrote the book through 40 different people, 66 books over hundreds of years, and he wrote the book. Ask him to help you understand it. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just, Lord, I need your help. Show me buried treasure, and you'll find strength. They're life to those who find them. And listen, and health to all their flesh. That's what the Bible says. The Word of God and the Spirit of God can affect your physical health. You say, well, my grandmother died and she loved the Lord. Listen, we love grandma, and I'm sorry that happened. I don't want to I don't want to play it down here, but I want to say, the Word of God is more real than your grandma's experience. You've got to stop letting that's a toxic thought. Well, I don't know if God's will to heal. Because the most Christian person I know, I've had people tell me this a lot of times, the most Christian person I know, they trusted God and they died. Well, guess what? We're all going to die. Isn't that good news on a Sunday morning? The point is, how, if you know Jesus, that part is set. How are you going to live? How are you going to live? That's what I want to know. How are you going to live? Well, the Bible says you live. Listen, the Word of God is life and health to all their flesh. To who? To those who find it. Those who are digging. Those who are looking and processing and trying to find answers on their own and dig into the Word. I love Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God even quickens our mortal flesh. What does that mean? That means in effect, the Holy Spirit, his presence, impacts our bodies when we're in his presence. Spirit, soul, and body. Everything is impacted. Physical healing comes through leaning into the word and renewing your mind with what God had said, has said, and what he is emphasizing now from what he had said, but he's saying it now. That's living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what Jesus said. That's how we live. And then it finishes in the passage in Proverbs 4 with this. Diligently guard your heart. Set a watch. Post a sentry at the gate. Halt, who goes there? Because toxic thoughts are not allowed through this door. Are you hearing me? That junk has got to go. I set a guard. And look what it says. Guard your heart, for out of it proceed or spring all the issues of life. Let me tell you what that means. The original text in the Hebrew says this. Diligently guard your heart, because out of it, out of your core, flow all the borders and boundaries of your life. Have you ever felt like you came up against an invisible wall of limitation? You get to a certain thing and bam, you hit your head. You just, in the spirit, you just know there's like this, why can't I? And people say stuff like, I knew this was going to happen. Every time I get to this point, I get knocked back down. That's a spiritual force. That's something demonic. The Bible says that if you'll guard your heart, your thoughts, with all diligence, you can get past that border and begin to discover God's purpose for you in greater measure and greater abundance. Are you awake today? Are you getting this? You've got to get this. I want to say it and say it and say it. Everything begins with one single thought. I say it again. And what you do with that thought. I've been reading a great book called Renewing the Mind 2.0, Pastor Casey and Wendy Treat. Casey Treat is a pastor from Seattle, Washington, a former drug addict, and I mean just a messed up life, and God redeemed him. His church and is like almost 50 years old now. He's a very young, he just turned 70 last month. But I read his original book, Renewing the Mind, back in the late 80s, almost 40 years ago, and it changed my life. And some of the ways you see different things happening in the church was because of this message on Renewing the Mind. Well, he and his wife rewrote a couple years ago and rewrote it as Renewing the Mind 2.0. I just want to encourage you. Some of you asked me to, you know, what are you reading? What are you seeing that'll help me? I'm telling you, you need deliverance. You need freedom. You don't need to just somebody just to shock up a high and cast something out of you all the time. You need the word of the Lord. You need the word of God. You need to renew your mind in the word and promises. And this book will really help you on that. So I just say that to say that you're invited to dig more into some treasures for yourself. One of the things Casey brings up in the book, from the Garden of Eden until today, the enemy always comes at you with a question. And the question is always the same. Has God really said? What's the word of God say? Did God really say you couldn't eat from the tree? He's just trying to keep you. He said from the knowledge of good and evil. That means he knows stuff you don't know. He's trying to keep you from being like him. What a lie. We were already born and created in his image. We just had to walk with him. But the enemy comes with a big lie, a big question mark. Has God really said? Then he comes back with it. That's how you get doubt. By the way, as I always bring up, doubt is spelled D-O-U-B-T, not D-O-U-T. D-O-U-B-T. Why? Because the root of it is double-minded, second-guessing. A lot of the questions of the enemy will try to get you to second-guess God or second-guess you, yourself, your decision. But that's why you got to know that you know that you know. And the more you're in the Word and filled up with the Spirit of God, you know that you know that you know. Pastor Casey Treat said this, a thought you continually process becomes a belief, and a belief becomes a lifestyle. See, where do your beliefs come from? They come from thoughts. They come from thoughts. Your beliefs come from thoughts. Well, But you start formulating these things. That's why right now, one of the big dangers in the world that I see is people creating their own theology. Like, how many times have you ever heard somebody say, well, I just believe that if it's God, if it's supposed to happen, God will just make it happen. That's a great false theology. Because it's not in the Word of God. It's not consistent with the Bible. The Bible didn't say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That was Doris Day. And most of you don't even know who that is. We don't live that kind of life. That's not what you're called to. You're called to do a diligent life, a fervent life, a life that's passionate for God. But the enemy comes, has God really said? Listen, either good thoughts or bad thoughts begin to form these beachheads, these strongholds in your mind, and you just start get. That's why you start creating these images of things, and you start believing stuff, and a lot of times you start believing you deserve bad things to happen. Well, there's one problem with that. Redemption. Jesus said he redeemed you from it. Why? Anyway, I gotta move on. Many beliefs are contrary to the revealed will of God, found in the Word of God. His Word is His will. That's what I said earlier. His Word is His will. Why do we call it the New Testament? Anybody ever reached the age where you had to go to the attorney and draw up a will yet? Hopefully most of you, when you get to 40 or 50, you start drawing up a will even earlier if you have kids, okay? But the fact is, what is that will? It is your last will and testament. The Bible says that God's word is His testament. The New Testament is a new covenant in Jesus' blood that tells how we respond through grace and not the law. His word is His will. That's why we're told, think on these things. And it starts with this, whatsoever things are true. That's why the last few years in the world since COVID and even before has been crazy, because it's been a lot of mind control, spiritual forces trying to control people's mind, trying to get you to think thoughts that are toxic and contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the will of God, and calling those things that are evil good and things that are good evil. And the moment you believe that, the moment you dwell on the thought, then you accept the thought and you believe it. And guess what happens? When you believe something, you have faith for it. And right now in the world, a lot of people have fear, which is reverse faith. It's faith in what the enemy has said instead of faith in what God has said. Are you following today? I know I'm teaching a little bit, but I'm teaching better than your amen in today. You need to get back in the flow, okay? Wake yourself up. The Word of God is His will. And the Bible says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. Not true-ish. Not kind of true. Not, oh yes, we have compassion for all people. We do have compassion for all people. But it doesn't make their lifestyle true. If it's contrary to the Word of God. That doesn't make you a bigot and a hater, my friends. It doesn't. It makes you a truth seeker. Are you hearing me? So we get a lot of people get confused on this. Well, what about my experience? What about that person over there? Have compassion. But the Bible says Jesus came full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. Not just grace. Grace and truth. They balance each other out. The tension between grace and truth always keeps the balance. Right? Do you have compassion for people that are confused, hurting, and broken? Yes, we have compassion for them. But that doesn't mean we change our theology. We change our belief in what God has said. We trust the Word. Everybody say, we trust the Word. The Bible says, think on these things. The word think on these things means to meditate on them, mutter them, chew on them like a cow chewing his cud. A cow has, what is it, like four stomachs or 12 stomachs or something, and they keep chewing on the same grass over and over again till it's fully digested. The Bible says when the promise of in Joshua chapter 1 is this, but don't let this word depart from your mouth, but keep in the midst of your heart that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. The word there is meditate on it. Chew on it. Don't let it out of your heart. Think about it, then think about it again. Feed your mind. If you have trouble sleeping, read the Bible for a few minutes before you go to sleep and find the promises that say he gives his beloved sweet sleep, because it's in there, it's in the book. He gives his beloved sweet sleep. Are you beloved? Yes, you are. You are loved and you are beloved. You be loved. Finally, this. Do you realize that God has a mind and thinks thoughts? Do you realize that God has a mind and thinks thoughts? Isaiah 55, verse 8 says this. For my thoughts, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God thinks. God, that's very important. Because if you're created in his image, you got to know that you've been given, the Bible says in the New Testament, you've been given the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointed one and his anointing. The mind of Christ is now available to you and in you if you want to think that way. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That doesn't mean you can't think them, but you have to press into the word. I'll close with this. Here's what God thinks about you. You ready for it? A life verse. This is a life verse for me and should be for everybody. Before I put it up there, I'm going to say this. This was at a time when Israel was in deep trouble. They had been exiled into Babylon, then Persia, and they were held captive, and everything in Jerusalem was a mess. And the fact of the matter is that in the midst of this, God starts prophesying to them about them coming back to him. And here's what he said. Most of you know it. Jeremiah 29, 11. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Everybody say toward me. Toward me. See, this is not just a general you. This is you personally. Us as a body, but you personally. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of your peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Now here's the thing. Here's the payoff. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. Most of you heard that, the word shalom. Listen to this. It means peace, prosperity, abundance, well-being, health, and wholeness. Peace, prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness. Peace, prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness. Peace, prosperity. Are you getting this? When God thinks about you, he doesn't think, okay, here's what I'm going to set up a new struggle situation. That's what you think. I'm going to set up a new struggle situation is what I'm going to do because that's what they need. God says, I'm thinking about you even when you're in trouble and you've been away from me. And I'm thinking thoughts of your peace, prosperity, well-being, contentment, health, and wholeness. If that's what God's thinking about for you, why are you thinking about the opposite on any of them or all of them? Be transformed by renewing your mind on that good and perfect will of God. God's thinking about you. He has bright plans for your future. No matter how far you got off track, Jesus is the great Redeemer. In Christ, you can do everything he strengthens you for. In Christ, you can change and you can grow into his original design. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? Those of you at home or wherever you're watching, maybe in a hotel room, some of our friends are in the hospital this weekend. Laura, we're praying for you. Marv, we're praying for you. Wherever you are, reel in your thoughts. Reel in that mental storm that keeps trying to take you down and out. The devil's a liar. And I declare, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that has risen up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is your inheritance. It's your heritage. It's your promise. Because your righteousness is not yours. It's been given to you by Jesus. Today, God is calling you to be transformed into a person of victory instead of victimhood. But you have to choose it. They both start off the same, victory or victimhood. The difference is what you think and what you believe. I hope you receive that today. Lord, I pray for every person hearing the sound of my voice, and I come against that lie, that bombardment of lies in their brain. I come against those toxic thoughts of evil against relationships. I come against that abandonment, those abandonment issues, those abandonment and rejection issues. Something right there. Abandonment and rejection issues. Maybe you were traumatized as a young person. Traumatized by something toxic that tried to plant a seed with you your whole life that you're going to be abandoned or rejected. That's why Jesus said over and over again what the Word says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. What's that mean? He'll never abandon you. He'll never reject you as his own. Right now, the Holy Spirit is ministering right around this room. Open your heart. He can heal that wound. He can heal that marriage. He can heal your body. He can heal that memory. Right now, he can heal that toxic thought from whenever it happened of your own unworthiness. Thank you, Jesus. You find your people worthy because of the price you paid. And it's all about you. Right now, we pray healing over you at home, healing over you in the hospital, healing over you in the room. Say this out loud when they just say, Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. He cannot deny his own family. And I am a part of the family of God in Jesus' name. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are part of that family. No matter what you did last week, last month, last year, or last night, he still loves you. And he'll never reject you. Come home to him. Come home to him today. Did you get something today? Did you get that? If you received it, give him praise. Lord, we give you glory and honor. If you prayed with us, by the way, you can text DECIDE NOW to 94000. That always gets you in contact with our team that wants to just love on you and just send you like a little video, tell you how to get started walking with God. Maybe this is brand new to you. We want to help you. We want to meet you. We want to connect with you. We won't blow up your phone, but we just want to send something to you once.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.